Can Become. My name is Jake, and I am 10 years old. I live in Westland, Oregon, and I like to play soccer and hang out with my friends. When I grow up, I want to be a pro soccer player. I really want to know more about becoming a soccer player, so my friends at ICANN Radio have arranged for me to talk to Zach McGraw, a professional soccer player for the Portland Timbers. I want to ask Zach about becoming a soccer player and what he wanted to be when he grew up. So let's get into the interview. Hi, Zach. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jake. I'm really excited and thank you for having me.
Tell us about yourself.
My name is Zach and I'm on the Portland Timbers. I am from Los Angeles, California, more specifically Redondo Beach, California. That's where I grew up, went to high school. I am 4 years older than my younger sisters. They're identical twins. Life growing up for me, you know, originally all sports and trying to be a good older brother. Grew up playing football and soccer, American football, but just very sports oriented. I'm really appreciative of my parents for sacrificing so much on the weekends and being able to take me to practice throughout the week and games on the weekend. And, you know, I was dragging them all across the state of California and the country at certain points, but very grateful for my upbringing.
Why did you decide you wanted to be a pro soccer player and how old were you?
You know, it's one of those things where growing up, you never know if you're going to be able to, you know, strive and become a pro soccer player. I'd say I'd wanted to be a professional soccer player my whole life, but when I thought it was realistic, probably in college.
Where did you go to college and why did you go there?
I went to Army West Point at the United States Military Academy. It was a lot of different colleges I was looking at. You know, being from Los Angeles, UCLA was a big one that I was considering. Being close to home, I was considering, but ultimately, me and my father sat down and we decided that a school like West Point was going to be best for me in terms of teaching me discipline, having responsibility, and setting me up for what if soccer doesn't work out.
If you weren't a pro soccer player, what would you be?
Well, if I didn't get drafted by the Portland Timbers, I'd be serving in the Army right now. I would actually be on my last year of my 5-year commitment for the United States. But after that, I would try to either go into, you know, a top business graduate school or a lawyer, something like that, which I still might after my playing career is done.
How did you feel when you got drafted by the Timbers?
I was very excited. I was actually in class because West Point will not let you take class off for anything, including a draft day from Major League Soccer. But I was actually in my last period class in New York. And I knew the draft was going on, but I didn't know when or where or who I was selected by. I could just feel my phone in my pocket just vibrating constantly, phone calls, text messages, and I wasn't able to check it because West Point's very strict with their rules in class and outside of class. But, you know, I walked back to my room and saw where I was going, when I was selected, and just all the words of encouragement. It was very surreal, I would say. It didn't feel like real life, and it was just, you know, the beginning of a 4.5 career year that I've had now.
Do you think the Timbers are a good team for you?
I think it is a team that's taught me how to be a professional, how to show up every day, how to maybe not be the biggest international widespread attraction, but still have success on the field. And for me personally, the Timbers, you know, kind of took me in as a kid from Army West Point who was the first soccer pick out of that school. And even though, you know, COVID and different things were happening during the time, they still took me under their wing and took a chance on me as a first year or even second year when I wasn't playing a lot, where they could have very easily just said, we're done with you. You haven't played any games. But instead, they took their time and developed me. So I believe it is.
Do you get along with your teammates and coach?
I would say yes. I try to get along with everyone, obviously, in soccer. In the U.S., it's different because there's so many different players from so many different places of the world. They all speak different languages. They don't know, you know, American customs. They're not used to. I actually had to explain to Finn Sermon what Thanksgiving was a couple weeks ago. He had no idea what Thanksgiving meant, what it was. And I kind of had to get into my elementary, like, history school book. So it's definitely interesting, you know, meeting and interacting with people all around the world that aren't used to stuff like we're used to, like everyday life, especially the new players bring them in and explain things like Thanksgiving and explain, you know, just that America's a welcoming place for them. And yeah, I try to get along with everyone.
Who was your best friend on your team?
My best friend on the team. So I was actually looking at it with one of my friends the other day, and I believe there are only 5 or 6 Portland Timbers that are still here on the roster since I've been here. Bill Tuilomo is a great friend of mine. Larice Mabiala, another great friend of mine who just retired recently a couple weeks ago. But currently, I would say Eric Williamson. We've been very close since I first arrived here, and we had mutual friends and connections through my college coach. He went to Maryland, and that's where Eric Williamson went to school.
What is it like to have teammates from different countries that speak different languages? How do you communicate with them?
That's a very good question. Sometimes it takes people a while to warm up towards their non-native tongue. So if they're coming from South America, it takes them a while to speak to people who don't know Spanish. Obviously, as veterans on the team or people who have been on the Timbers a couple of years, your goal is to try and break them in the team, talk to them in maybe your own broken Spanish, just to like tear down a wall, make them comfortable. Diego Char, he told me when he was here, he knew English within 2 years, but he wasn't comfortable talking in the public or media for 4 years. So it's just different people take different time, you know, to get comfortable. It is a big change because I can't imagine at 19 or 18, I believe Mosquera came here when he was 19, but getting thrown into a different country, you know, Colombia is sunny every day. Portland, when he came, was the late end of summer, so he started getting used to rain every day. It's just more so trying to make them feel comfortable and so they can only focus on things on the field instead of things off the field.
What are the most important skills you need to become a pro soccer player?
First and foremost, it's your mental ability. Especially as a rookie in the league or rookie American or rookie college player, I would say it's very difficult to get consistent game time with the first team and confidence. That's what people struggle with a lot in the MLS. Initially, it's your mind that helps you the most and, you know, adapt and overcome challenges every day, injuries every day, just little things. Your mind overcomes more than you would think. And if your mind goes, it doesn't matter how good you are with your feet or goalie position, saving shots. If your mind goes, you're never going to get anywhere. Some skills, I would say, obviously a lot of dedication and time towards your craft, towards, you know, passing, dribbling, your skill moves, your defending, just obviously depending on what position you play. But it takes a lot of time and sacrifice to be good and to be, one, good enough even to make a college team and play every game and year and stay healthy for that. And then it's just another level to take it to the professional level as well.
What is something I should focus on at school to become a good soccer player?
Well, first, you can't be eligible in high school or college if you don't have good grades. I know that was a big thing growing up. A lot of my club teammates didn't have good enough grades to get in the schools they could have on their soccer level, but their academic level held them back a lot. Obviously, focus on grades a lot. You would think it doesn't matter until it does. You can't play the game you love anymore because of your grades. And then next thing is just being able to do your best at training every day, every week, and compete well in your games. And, you know, the fruits of your labor will come.
What does it feel like when you help your team win a game?
Every win, I feel like everyone contributes in different ways, shapes, or form. Obviously, if you're getting assists or getting goals, you just look on the stats sheet and you say, oh, that person won the game. But obviously, there's so much that goes on in a 90-minute time period. But in terms of the game where I scored 2 goals, it's more so doing it for your teammates, for your coaches, because you know you can see in those moments, in those celebration moments, how much it means for those people, for my friends, for my family, for, you know, the fans and the Timbers Army, how much those moments mean for them.
What has been your favorite moment as a pro soccer player?
I would say scoring my first goal away at Austin FC in 2022. And my dad is originally from Texas, so he flew out to the game in Austin, and a lot of his brothers, sisters, mom, dad, so my cousins, my aunts, my grandparents, they were at the game. I think we had about 30 or 40 people at the game, and I actually scored the game-winning goal against Austin in the second half, and I was able to celebrate right in front of my family. and are the Timbers family section at Austin. So it was just really exciting, and, you know, it was an important 3 points at the time for the team. And, yeah, that was probably it.
What is the hardest part about being a pro soccer player?
I think the hardest part, one, it's a very long season, trying to stay focused for, I think, the year in 2021 where we made the final. We went from January to middle of December, and then you get 3 weeks off, and then next thing you know, you're back in the next season. So really just staying focused for an entire calendar year. If your goal, if your team goal, which it should be, is to make the MLS Cup Finals, that's keeping the entire team engaged and wanting to win when things aren't going right, when injuries are happening, keeping the whole team engaged and convincing them that we can still win, we can still turn the season around. I think that's the hardest time.
What is something you wish you knew about being a pro soccer player when you were a kid?
They don't really tell you about all the travel you do. I would say that's a big one. You just always see when you're growing up these guys on TV. I mean, when you're young, you don't know if they're playing at where they're playing, really. You don't know if they're playing home or away. And then now when you're in it, you're, for the most part, traveling every week and staying in hotels and staying away from your family and loved ones every other week or every week or days on end. I'd say that's the biggest thing they don't really tell you about.
What was it like to play for Canada's national team, and how did that happen?
Growing up, I went to Canada every summer and Christmas just to spend it with my mom's side of the family. So I've always had, you know, a passport, a Canadian passport, but never did it occur to me to ever try to use it really besides travel to Canada just to make it easier to go in and out of the country. Last year when I was starting to play a lot more games, playing well consistently, it, you know, the idea appeared between my mom, actually. She said, well, why don't you just play or try to play for Canada? And I said, I don't know if, you know, it works like that. I just start waving a Canadian passport in the air and they start calling. But funny enough, it actually did kind of work like that, because I told my agent at the time, I said, you probably, well, no one really knew it at the time. They all just thought or assumed, because I went to West Point, I was 100% American, and just my Canadian passport came out of thin air. But I told my agent and I said, I'm Canadian. Do you think you can get in contact with, you know, someone who can connect me with the head coach at the time, who was John Herdman? Next thing you know, I'm playing against the United States at Cincinnati Stadium for the quarterfinal of the Gold Cup, which we almost won. But it was just, you know, a full 360 moment where no one knew I was Canadian. Then I'm representing them. Next thing I know, I'm playing the United States in the quarterfinals for a potential trophy. Yeah, it was a great opportunity and great time representing Canada.
If you were called in to play at the next World Cup for Canada, how would you feel?
I mean, I think every soccer player's dream is to play at a World Cup. I think that's the pinnacle. Like, I can count on one hand how many people I personally know and have played with in the past that have actually played at a World Cup. Obviously, in the MLS, there's going to be more and more as the league develops and teams get more exposure and strength throughout the world. But, yeah, I think that's the goal of anyone representing any country.
Who was your favorite soccer player when you were a kid?
So my favorite soccer player, defender specific, growing up, was Nemanja Vidic. Very good defender for United for a lot of years. But I would probably say Ronaldinho on Barcelona when he was there for a long time. Who's your favorite player in the world?
My favorite player is Christian Pulisic, and the reason why he's my favorite player is because he plays for the U.S. national team and he works hard and never gives up.
So what do you think is the hardest thing about being a pro soccer player?
Well, like, if you make a mistake, it's like sometimes you're on TV and if you make a mistake, and like everyone's seeing that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's something that college football players and pro players deal with, just because the microscope is on you in that moment. Next thing you know, you're on social media being talked about either positively or negatively, but it's just one of those things where hopefully you have a good support system, you have good family, and coaches and teammates that after that moment, one, hopefully you can correct it in the next moment and take advantage of the next moment and do well. But it's just one of those things, well, when you get older and mature, you start to realize like what does matter and what doesn't matter. And obviously the positivity that, you know, comes with your teammates and your coaches supporting you. So if you could be a pro on any soccer team in the world, where would it be? What team?
I want to play for the Portland Timbers because I want to play for my home team, and I just think they're a really good club.
There you go. That's a good answer.
Zach, thank you for joining me today. It's been great to talk to you.
I had a great time. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you for listening to I Can Become with me, Jake. Today I've learned that I should focus on my mental ability to help me overcome different challenges and to get good grades in school. What do you want to be when you grow up? Why not tell my friends at ICANN? You can just visit ICANNradio.org and let them know. And maybe you can interview someone cool just like I did. I wanted to thank my guest Zach McGraw for coming into the show. Because of you, I now know I can become a soccer player.
That was an original ICAN production called I Can Become. You can tune in to I Can Become every Wednesday at 5 p.m. If you want to catch up on previous episodes or learn how to make your dreams come true, head to icanradio.org.
Let's hear a story.
Early one bright